Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and you're listening to the AR Library call as well as the EMS call. And these are questions that people post on our website, just looking for answers and maybe hope. So let's get on with our questions. Not much you can do. So there is not much you can do when your wife still thinks there was justification for her affair. We're going through EMS online right now, and I'm healed from this, but still have the problem with the fact that my wife still seems to put a disclaimer in front of any discussion of her affairs, which is not something she would have ever chose to do to me. This is a big problem if she can, in her own mind, justify what she's done this time. There will be little problem doing it again. When I mention this to her, I get no response, which tells me she has not taken full responsibility for what has happened. Now I know this could be because she is still struggling with guilt and shame and is suppressing inside, but I cannot tell the difference. I know so far most of the EMS course has been about healing the hurt of the betrayal, the betrayed, which is me, and was not really needed by me, but the time we got into the But so far I've not seen anything in the course geared toward the unfaithful's release of guilt or shame, or pointing out the real need for them to take full responsibility. We were supposed to have done lesson 6 this past week, but the phone problems kept it from happening. But I've already gone several lessons ahead and still don't see much. I guess I can say it looked as if in lesson 8 there was some personal responsibility, but not directly. I know there is a need for the course to be so much more to help the hurt one, and I can tell that from the other couples in the group, but it's not the biggest need for us. If you can make any recommendations that would be of help, let me know. Well, actually, to get somebody to take personal responsibility, they first have to begin to develop empathy and see how their actions impact another person. Moving beyond denial and getting into self-acceptance, that's going to be a process for both you and your wife. Hopefully, as you go through the chapters on forgiveness, and especially as she does the week 6 lesson, she's going to begin to see more of how she's impacted you. And to me, that's going to be important as she goes forward. One of the things that I find, well, let me back up. Week 3 was also aimed at her when we started talking about the cycle. Until she can come to the place where she can let go of that guilt, you're right, that's a problem. I mean, shame is the nuclear fuel in the reactor that drives the behavior. But hopefully she can begin to figure out grace. I will say that many women benefit from taking the Hope for Healing course because it's really aimed at looking at yourself and taking personal responsibility and your own self-centeredness. And how do you begin to consider others above yourself? So if she doesn't get it by the end of the EMSO class, I'd suggest she'd probably greatly benefit from doing something like Hope for Healing or getting involved in something like SLAA, Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. It's a matter of, you know, to me, if you can't accept where you're at, you're never going to get to where you're going. And ultimately, she has to begin to see what she's done and accept who she is, not in a sense of there's something wrong with me, but begin to let that be transformed where she can understand the way she is a gift. It just has to be used appropriately. And you never know. I'm hoping, too, that the process of the group, because for many people this works this way, seeing other people talk allows them to gain insight. And especially week six is powerful. So I do hope that as you go through week six and week seven and week eight, that she's going to begin to learn more and hopefully find hope for her life. And if that doesn't work, again, like I said, either hope for healing for women or she ought to get involved in 12-step work. Next question. Discovery Day was a little over 6 months ago. A week after Discovery, my wife and I did full disclosure. The disclosure was broad, but did not include juicy details. We've attended EMS and are doing counseling jointly and individually. I desperately want my wife to heal and have been very cooperative in answering her questions. I have two concerns you can address. My wife has requested a list of every hotel and restaurant that I visited while acting out over the last decade with numerous APs. Do you believe that's necessary and healthy for her? Two, is it healthy for her recovery to ask me questions that give details of specific encounters with APs? When she asks me the details of a specific AP meeting, it makes me relive the event, which causes euphoric recall and leads me into fantasy. As I am triggered each day, I practice the life strategy to end the triggers and refocus my thoughts so I don't give it airtime in my head. I believe what I feel gets stronger, and what I feed gets stronger, and what I starve gets weaker. I want to starve any thoughts of euphoric recall of past events. I want to avoid the first step toward relapse, which is fantasy, and how good it feels to act out. One of the, I think, important things here, the first one, which is requested a list of every hotel and restaurant that I visited. One problem that people have is the hurt spouse in particular, when they drive by restaurants and hotels, not knowing creates a trigger. And it actually reduces triggers oftentimes if they learn what those actual hotels and restaurants are, so it's not as big a problem. However, I think there needs to be a plan to do that. One couple I know, the way they handled it is they literally drove to each one of those places, and together they prayed over those buildings, just reclaiming each one of those places. It was almost to them, to his wife, she said, I just want to be able to get Austin back again. The problem is every hotel I see is now a reminder, and I want to reclaim this. I love my city. I don't want to be triggered when I drive. And by going to those different places and praying over them, and literally what they did was they asked God to show them where they were at that point in time. And it really helped set them free. So in that sense, if it's done, I think, in a positive, redemptive way, it can be something that's very useful. And it actually decreases triggers instead of increasing triggers. Second, is it healthy for her recovery to ask me questions that give details of specific encounters with the APs? When she asks me the details of a meeting, it makes me relive that event. So one of my concerns about that is, I guess, the nature of the question she's asking. Because if she's asking questions which are comparative in nature, in other words, where she's comparing herself against the AP or could potentially compare herself against the AP, I don't feel those are healthy. I understand you're talking about euphoric recall. I'm also concerned for her because it's those comparison questions that ultimately create intrusive thoughts. So if she's in individual therapy, one of the things I would do is check with her therapist or your couple's therapy and check and ask, is that going to be helpful? I'd want to know why she wants that information. what it is she's looking for, because if she's trying to figure out what you did with them versus what the two of you do, that's not an apples and apples comparison, and probably would create more problems than benefit. But again, I would check that out with your therapist, since the two of you are in therapy. And in terms of your euphoric recall from those things, all I can say is what you're doing in terms of using the life model, trying to eliminate euphoric recall, that would be the thing I would recommend. So hopefully you can get more answers as to why she wants that, and you can figure out whether or not, and she can, that's going to be helpful. In the long run, if that's what she needs, she really wants that material, then I'd give it to her. However, I'd try to do it all at once so that you're not being triggered multiple times by a bunch of different questions spread out through months. One meeting would be far more beneficial than where you do that than stringing that along for 8 weeks and getting a lot of euphoric recall. Last question for the day. I've read several people's posts on here regarding their deep sadness that continues for years after discovery. I'm 14 months into recovery, and also at times this deep pain or sadness hits me, and I just want to weep. Every day since discovery, I have probably cried, tried to process, grieved and mourned, as well as finding all the information I can about affairs. Why does this deep sadness come out of nowhere like a freight train? In many, many ways, my marriage is better now. We've been seeing a therapist for over a year, basically since discovery. However, the pain and sadness are still overwhelming for me. Every day I'm still battling the thoughts of trying to replace them with positive thoughts and gratitude. I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong. There are many losses for me, and I come to a place where I think I can really accept them, and then later I find I'm still not at peace with it. I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong. Any ideas? I'm very frustrated with this because I'm growing tired. Thank you again for your help. Some of this really is sad, and I think that grief has a tendency to be a lot like surf, that it comes in waves. You know, if you're in the surf, a wave of grief can roll over you, and then on the other side of it, when that wave is passed, you know, the sun is shining and the seagulls are flying and soaring and there's really good moments, and then another wave comes along. So I don't know whether or not what you're experiencing is kind of an extended grief. To me, though, when those feelings extend on and on past 2 years, I generally am a little concerned about there's a place it feels like there you may be having trouble with acceptance, because I really do believe through grieving, loss should be transformed. I believe that when someone has truly grieved a situation, they have no regrets about what's happened. In fact, with that transformation, they just are at a place of, I think, deep compassion and concern for others and love. In the grieving, and I don't know how you grieve and what you mean by grieving and mourning, because I think a lot of times we're not very good at grief. Something you might try reading is the Grief Recovery Handbook, because I find that just learning more about grieving can sometimes help someone move beyond. Another thing that often helps with this process, when you come to a place where you can give to others and reach out, through that oftentimes people began to see meaning and see life. And focusing on, keeping present in the moment, being very mindful and in the present is something else that's going to be also helpful. I liked what you said in terms of I try to replace them with positive thoughts and gratitude, but sometimes it's not just trying to replace them with positive thoughts and gratitude. Sometimes it's living with a new attitude, and it's just an attitude of thankfulness. Another book that I'd recommend that maybe could help you see life a bit differently is a book called 1,000 Gifts. And I think you may find that reading things along that line at least helps you look from a positive perspective. But you're still only 14 months into this, and most people are still grieving at 14 months. So at one level, I would say this is normal. In fact, for many people at 14 months, things have actually become painful again. Most people in the timeline of recovery will be doing well after they go through that initial recovery aspect. At about 6 months to 12 months, things usually go pretty well. But then at 12 months, they come across those one-year anniversaries, and that pain begins to return. So it's not uncommon between year one and year two for there still to be some grieving. So I wouldn't say you're totally abnormal at this point, but you might consider those resources and see if they help. One last thing, if you have not taken Harboring Hope, you may find that doing something like that might also be helpful. And you, of course, you can go to the Affair Recovery website and look at that if you would like. So that's all of our questions for the day. Thank you for joining the call, and I hope you guys have a great week. Be sure to keep posting, and let's have some more questions next week to healing.